It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's said that April showers bring May flowers, but in some parts of Illinois, they also bring sanitary sewer overflows, which is a polite or formal way of saying your lawn is inundated with human waste. Some areas are hit particularly hard. A few dozen communities in southern Illinois and the Metro East account for a third of sanitary sewer overflows in the last decade. And those are just the overflows that get reported to the state. Homeowners in these areas have to face the consequences of flooding as governments have struggled to fix the problems that caused these overflows in the first place. All of this is the subject of a new investigation from the Illinois Answers Project. The story is called Wasted Waters, How Southern Illinois is Coping with Decades of Sewage Flooding and Why It Still Isn't Solved. Joining me now is the reporter behind this story, Janelle O'Day. Janelle, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thanks so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Listeners, you can join us today at 800-222-9455 if your area has ever experienced a sanitary sewer overflow. How has that affected you? And, you know, broadly, do you think this is the government's responsibility? And, you know, what should be done about it? 800-222-9455. What does it say that government has been unable to fix this problem for people? 800-222-9455. All right, Janelle, in addition to your investigative piece, you wrote a companion titled simply, What is a Sanitary Sewer Overflow? I think that's a great starting question. What is a sanitary sewer overflow?
Yeah, sure. So, excuse me. Basically, it's when sewer water escapes the treatment system and ends up in places where it's not supposed to be. Whether that is a river or a lake or someone's basement or someone's backyard. And possible causes of sanitary sewer overflows really kind of run the gamut. It can be a blockage or a line break. It can be a defect in the system that allows stormwater and groundwater to overload the system, which is a lot of what we're seeing in the reports that we requested and got from the EPA in Southern Illinois and the Metro East. There's also just straight up system failures. In some cases, you know, sanitary sewer systems are built to handle populations that are much larger now than they used to be. And so they're just kind of not built for what they're trying to handle nowadays.
What sort of laws and regulations are there around these overflows in Illinois?
Sure. So the Clean Water Act is really the primary legislation that regulates these. And the long and short of it is really that sanitary sewer overflows are illegal if they reach waters of the U.S. is the phrasing used in the law. And so some sanitary sewer overflows are permitted, Our sewer systems have to have a place to discharge, have to have a place to overflow into basically at some point. And so those discharges are regulated by what's called the National Discharge Pollutant Elimination System. And those permits basically allow discharges so long as contaminants are below a certain level. But if a municipality or a sewer system doesn't have one of those permits and is discharging, that is illegal. And oftentimes, even if the municipality or the discharger has a permit, if they continue to have repeated sanitary sewer overflows, and especially if they're over that contaminant level, but even if they just have a repeated number of the overflows and they're within their permitted levels, the fact that it's happening repeatedly is a good indicator that something is wrong with the system.
Yeah. All right. Let me do a little warning. If anyone's eating lunch, this may not be maybe time to put your sandwich down. Let's actually make this real. Your story had, you know, some examples of people who have actually experienced some of the flooding from overflows like this. Tell us about some of their stories.
Yeah. The people I've talked to in Cahokia Heights have been dealing with this for, many of them have been dealing with it for decades. So, you know, starting back in the 80s and 90s, they started to have these issues and they've just sort of continued ever since then, with different degrees of how bad they are. And this past election day, actually, last year, there was we had an extremely heavy rain event down here in the Metro East. I live in St. Louis. And people were not able to, you know, they had trouble accessing the polls because the streets were flooded, or they couldn't even leave their houses because their front yards were flooded, and they couldn't get to their vehicles or couldn't, you know, leave their neighborhoods. One source I talked to, Miss Patricia Greenwood, you know, she told me that she basically, that her family has to plan their life around rainstorms, and they always look at the weather forecast before they go run errands or before they make plans to like go out for the day, because they don't want to go out to do something fun and then not be able to even come back home. That's one concern, you know, that one resident has. Another woman that I spoke to, Miss Ariana Norris, she told me that, you know, last July, we had another extreme rain event. We keep having these very heavy rain events down here in Southern Illinois and the Metro East, which is part of the reason that the issue is as much of an issue as it is down here. But we had one of those rain events last July, and her home was surrounded by water for like an entire month. And so she had to deal with that and clean that, all of that up herself, you know, when the water did finally recede. So, you know, those are just two examples, but there's so many more of what Cahokia Heights residents are dealing with.
What effect does this have on people's health? I mean, I can't imagine it's, you know, beyond it just being unpleasant. Are there more dire consequences?
Yeah, there are. I appreciate you asking about that. One of the reporters at the Belleville News Democrat, a newspaper down here in Belleville, Illinois, her name is Lexi Cortez, and she did some really excellent reporting on H. pylori infections in the community, and basically found that, yes, people in Cahokia Heights, the populations there, have an elevated level of those infections, which basically happen when you come into contact with contaminated water. And so the residents I spoke with, it's just a constant worry for them. You know, most of them don't trust the water that comes out of their tap. They have to buy bottled water, or in a lot of cases, they are supplied bottled water by the attorneys that are working on their behalf to try to get this all fixed. And so it's just a constant concern for them of if they will get sick, if they use the water or touch the water. And so, yes, it's a constant health hazard for them. And it's something that basically they never stop worrying about.
And what about their homes? I mean, I would imagine this makes it, you know, is this something you have to disclose if you want to sell the home? I mean, I imagine a lot of these people don't have the money to sort of fix this independently for themselves.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point too, is, you know, Cahokia Heights is a low income community. I think in the story we report that the median income there is less than half of the state's median income. And so people do not have spare money to fix their homes. Mr. William McNeil, I talked to him for the story, he's quoted in the story. And he told me, you know, so the issue for him is there's an overflow that's basically right next to his house. And anybody could go and see it overflowing during a heavy rain. I did a couple of times, and the photographer and videographer we worked with was able to capture that too. But that overflow creates basically like a river that runs alongside his house in this ditch. And eventually that river caused a tree, as he told me, caused a tree to fall, basically rot away and fall onto his roof. And so he had to replace part of his roof on the back of his house. He's also had floorboards rot through and had to replace, I believe it was his hot water heater. But he's had to make several, you know, repairs to his home in the tens of thousands of dollars.
Yikes. Yeah.
Yes. And wow. So, and multiple, you know, and this is something that he is constantly, you know, from our conversations, it sounded like he was just constantly waiting for like, what's next? And like, what am I going to worry about next? You know?
All right. Well, we're going to take a brief break. We'll continue this conversation with Janelle O'Day of the Illinois Answers Project. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.
Support for the 21st show comes from listeners like you and the Des Moines Art Center, presenting Firlai Baez, featuring colorful, large-scale works engaging history and legacy, on view through September 21st. Details at DesMoinesArtCenter.org.
It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about sewer overflows in some downstate Illinois communities, what that means for homeowners, and the challenges in fixing those problems. All that's the subject of an investigation from the Illinois Answers Project. We're talking now with the reporter behind that story, Janelle O'Day. We'll have a link to it on our website, 21stshow.org. You can join us at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Janelle, 5 dozen communities in southern Illinois, the Metro East, account for a third of the sanitary sewer overflows in the last decade. That is a significant concentration. And again, these are only the ones that get reported to the state. What is the issue with these sewer systems that keeps this happening again and again?
Yeah, so, you know, I think there's multiple things at play here. It's kind of like the perfect storm, for lack of a better term, because storms are actually a part of this. So, I mean, we're just seeing in general heavier rainfall events where, like, in the course of 2 to 3 days, a ton of, you know, inches of rain, sometimes 10, 12, 15 inches of rain at a time are dumped on a community. And many times, in smaller downstate communities, the sewer system was built, you know, 20, 40, 50 years ago. And so it's aging, the pipes are starting to crack or break maybe. And then, so that allows a chance for what's known as infiltration, you know, water, storm water seeping into the sewer system and helping to kind of overwhelm it. And then on top of that, populations are growing in some places. We have another story about this subject, but about a different community coming out here in the next couple of weeks. Basically one of the few Southern Illinois communities that has seen actual population growth and is also struggling with this issue. And so that's a part of it too, is growing populations that are overwhelming these older systems. And on top of all of that, you have these smaller communities that are not necessarily tourism centers, right? They're not Chicago or Springfield or places like that, that have a ton of extra money to spend or to invest in fixing these systems before they become a problem. And so oftentimes they just aren't able to get to repairing or fixing the system, sometimes don't even know that it's an issue until it becomes a big issue and it's something that they can't ignore.
Let me share a couple of text messages we got from our listeners on this subject. By the way, if you want to join our texting group, you can do that at 21stshow.org. But we heard from Aaron in Anna, Illinois, in southern Illinois. I work for a city for some years. One of our tasks was to keep the sewer grates clear of debris. This was a preventative measure. However, the city decided it could save money by not maintaining them. So the fall leaves and trash are silting them up now. The kicking the can down the road is going to, let's say, interfere with the coming generations. Let's clean up the language a little there. Thank you for that message. How much is preventative maintenance or the lack of it a problem here?
That's a great question. And I think that I would probably kick that to the residents who live in these communities who can say, you know, who can talk about what they're seeing as far as people being out doing preventative maintenance. But I think, you know, clearly that person's text message speaks to it. If more preventative maintenance could be done, maybe some of these problems would be headed off and they wouldn't become a problem. But again, it goes back to, you know, a lot of these communities are smaller communities and maybe they don't even have a full-time public works staff or a full-time public works superintendent who can keep an eye on these things. And so sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, they're not being neglectful necessarily, but they just don't have the staff or are not choosing not to dedicate the staff and the resources to keeping an eye on this particular issue.
Another text message from Ann in Urbana. Climate change, with its increase in flooding, is overwhelming many systems that may have been efficient in the past. End quote. Thank you for that message, Ann. Janelle, is this, like so many stories today, ultimately a global warming story?
One thing I will tease in the next story that's coming out, I actually spoke to the Illinois State climatologist about this for this story, and he told me that yes, there are more heavier rainfall events happening now than there used to be, the type that I talked about earlier, where it's just inches of rain at a time being dumped on a community within a short period of time. And they are happening more in Southern Illinois and the Metro East than anywhere else in the state. And he said that those storms are happening more now because of human-caused climate change. So yes, to short answer is yes.
Friend of the show, Trent Ford, getting a little, his phone getting quite a workout these days. Yeah. One more text message from Lloyd in Danville, who said, this is an issue in my community. I served on the city council when an outside engineering firm was asked to assess the sewer system. Government should address and fix the problem without passing the cost on to taxpayers. Janelle, what makes this so difficult for some of these communities to seem to be able to get on top of?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I think that every community, it differs a little bit as to why they can't address it or address it in a way that is fast enough before residents are dealing with the consequences. That's really what I found in my reporting, is that like many of these solutions work, or they are working, but too slowly for it to really matter to residents. And so I think that really, in a lot of these downstate communities we're talking about, Southern Illinois, Metro East, it's really just about resources and staffing and maybe even expertise too. I'm not sure how many engineering firms there are in this area that are well-versed in this stuff. I know that there are some, but are there enough is the question. And so I really think that that's a big part of it, is resources, staffing, and just the ability to dedicate those things to this problem versus all the other problems that communities are dealing with nowadays.
Yeah, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're speaking with Janelle O'Day of the Illinois Answers Project, who has written about this increase in, or I should say, a sustained problem of sewer flooding, sanitary sewer overflows in Southern Illinois communities, Metro East communities. There are a couple of dozen communities that account for a significant share of the reported problems of this in the state of Illinois. We'll have a link to her story on our website, 21stshow.org. If you want to join us, just a few minutes left in the show, 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. All right. You spend a lot of time in your story. I mean, it is called the Illinois Answers Project. This is solutions journalism. So what are some of the different approaches that some places have taken to try to fix issues like this?
Well, in this story, we looked at Cahokia Heights, which is the place where this issue is, it's sort of like the prime example of this issue, because they've been dealing with it for so long and at such a severe level. And it seems like Cahokia Heights has tried just about everything, or is trying just about everything, to fix this. Cahokia Heights actually used to be three different cities, Centerville, Allerton, and Cahokia. And they merged those three in an effort to try to basically create conditions that would allow them to get more grant funds. So, a larger population base as the main thing. And so that has worked in that they have been able to get some of the larger federal grants that they were seeking. But the question is, then becomes, how easy is it for them to put those to use and to make the repairs? And I would just tell people to read my story and talk to the residents who have lived through some of these repairs that sometimes then just fail within weeks or months. So there's that solution, you know, that they tried was merging this city and applying for grants. You know, one other solution that we'll look at in the next story is, you know, a small town attempting to finance a repair with a large government loan. And how does that process play out? That's what we'll look at in the next story. One other solution that some communities have tried is selling their wastewater system or parts of it to private water systems like Illinois American Water. You know, Illinois American Water and similar companies basically promise that they can make repairs that these communities can't make on their own, and they can invest money in them that the governments may not be able to. And I would also direct people to my story for a conversation I had with Terry Mackin, the Illinois American Water spokesman. You know, basically what I found was that they did make investments, you know, in some cases, multi-million-dollar investments in the systems that they bought. But I requested records from the Illinois EPA, and those systems were still having hours-long overflows in the years after they were purchased by Illinois American Water. So these are just, you know, just a few of the solutions that communities try to solve these issues. And, you know, I would, yes, again, direct people to the story to read about kind of how those are going so far.
Yeah. Yeah. What about, I mean, you mentioned federal grants. Is there a bigger role that the state or federal government should be taking in this regard?
You know, I don't know that is for me to say, but I think that question is a good question for residents that live.
I mean, are they saying that to you, I guess? Is that something that they would believe maybe?
I think that a lot of them, I think they would like to see more support, honestly, no matter where it comes from.
Yeah.
So, short answer is probably yes. But I think that state leaders, federal leaders, local leaders should go to these residents and ask them what they need and what they think would be the best way for this to get solved, because they're really the people that are living with it every day and seeing it every day.
Yeah. All right. We have a call came in, 800-222-9455. Paul in Murfreesboro, Carbondale. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, this is Paul. Thanks for this first time I ever called. But I've listened to this. I've read quite a bit about it. I don't live in the metro area, but it seems like a lot of this is race-driven historically. These are very poor. Lots of them are African-American neighborhoods. We're back with redlining, and people were driven to certain parts of town. These kinds of problems would not happen in more affluent, even reasonably affluent areas of any town. They just wouldn't be a problem. They would get fixed.
Yeah.
A lot of these are just poor, poor communities to begin with. And, you know, I got a lot more to say about it, but that's all I'm going to say now.
All right, Paul. Thank you for sharing that perspective. I appreciate it. Janelle, do you get that sense from people who live there that they think that is a significant part of this story?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that anybody, you know, you talk to anybody around the St. Louis area who knows about the Cahokia Heights issue, and I think anyone would agree that is a part of it. And you know, this gentleman is, Paul, you're correct that there is definitely some historical context in this issue here in Cahokia Heights. But I will also say to keep an eye out for the next story that we have coming, which does look at another community that's of a different makeup, let's just say, that is having the same issue, although not to the level that Cahokia Heights is having it. Yes, just to your point, Paul, absolutely.
All right. Well, the piece, again, the first piece is called Wasted Waters, How Southern Illinois is Coping with Decades of Sewage Flooding and Why It Still Isn't Solved. It's from the Illinois Answers Project. The investigative reporter behind the story is Janelle O'Day. Janelle, thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you so much. And for anyone else that is experiencing these in their communities, please reach out to me and let me know. I'd love to know about it.
Okay. We'll have a link to the story, and you can find out how to contact Janelle through that on our website, 21stshow.org. That is it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, we'll be talking with University of Illinois Springfield professor and author Peter Wenz. He's got two books coming out this year. One is Abortion Rights as the Free Exercise of Religion, The Constitutional Case for Choice. He has another book on the philosophy of religion for a STEM generation, more of a textbook, but both interesting. We'll be talking with him about that work coming up tomorrow here on The 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. I am Brian Mackey. Thank you for listening. We will be talking with you again tomorrow.